For you are holy, holy, you are holy. You are holy, holy, you are holy. Lamb of God, seated at the right hand of the Father, you are holy, holy, you are holy.
You are holy. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lamb of God.
Lamb of God.
Father, we worship your name. You are holy. You are mighty. You are awesome. You are awesome in this city. Thank you for the work that you are doing in this city. Thank you for the work that you're doing through Glory and Peace Church. And for what you're doing in us right now, Lord. Thank you for what you've been preparing us for. We say yes and amen to your will. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
The Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. God is good. Amen. It's good to have you here tonight for our Bible study. We are thankful for the faithfulness of God in our midst. We're studying through the book of Proverbs, and we're in the fourth chapter. We stopped at verse 18 the last time we were together in a Bible study. But to lead into it, I'm going to start from verse 14. It says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away." What an instruction. God says to us that we should not enter into the path of wicked people. Go not in the way of the evil man. And he stresses it again and says, avoid it. When you see it, don't go check and see what they're doing. He says, avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. If you're heading towards evil, turn from it and pass away. The fact is, it's like seeing an accident. Everybody wants to look. And that's what kind of impact evil sometimes has. We want to look. God says, don't even look at it. Step away. You see evil? Move away from it. Now, there are reasons for that. One, you don't want to clutter your mind with that which is evil. Number two, you don't want to be coerced into doing the same thing. Because evil people always have a reason for why they're doing whatever it is they're doing. They have a way of explaining it away. It's called propaganda. And if you listen to evil long enough, you start to sympathize with it. Because the twisted mind of wicked people find psychological ways to get you to participate with them in what they are doing. The Word of God goes and says, for they sleep not. They don't sleep. Except they have done mischief. They don't sleep until they've done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. What kind of an agenda can that be? Somebody who just wants to get people to fail, to fall, to be in pain and in sorrow. That's all that is driving them. He says, they don't go to sleep until they achieve whatever it is they want to do. Don't be part of that. Seems very obvious, but if the Word of God is stressing it, then there is a reason for it. Just look at our world today. Just look at the evil that is going on. And I was reflecting on some of the things that have happened in the last week and a half or so. And thinking about when the Nazis were around, what they did, burning people alive, butchering people. Same thing. Same playbook is happening in our world today. Who does that? Who, in the name of whatever, goes and cuts a woman open and gets the baby out and shoots the baby that's in the womb? Who does that? That is wickedness. I don't care whatever thing you're fighting for, that is total wickedness. And the people who are celebrating that for whatever reason. I had a so-called professor in a very high-class university saying things like, I was exhilarated when I saw that happening. Exhilarated. And said it so many times, I thought maybe, you know, he made a mistake. I was so excited. That's what human. Now we're acting really human. Gee, what's gone wrong? What is wrong? Wickedness. He says, for they eat the bread of wickedness. They eat the bread of wickedness. And drink the wine of violence. They drink the wine of violence. They drink the wine of Hamas. Right there, that's what it is. Hamas. It is right there in the Bible. But the path, This is important. But the path of the just, the path of the just is as a shining light. The path of the just is as a shining light. It exposes whatever it is and causes you not to stumble in life. It's as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And what the Word of God is simply saying here is this, that where there is justice, there's a continuity to better living. It deals with the issues that it sees. Okay, we can do this better. We can do that better. We shouldn't do this. It says that's a path. It's not like everything is perfect, but it's always leading to better. It's always pursuing what is best. And that's what God calls us to. Calls us to that experience that shines the light to bring us onto the perfect day. Perfect day being that moment, that set up time where truth has been applied and there is no place for wickedness. Just truth. The way that we live today is so disappointing. You know, I listen to the news sometimes and I'm just disappointed. Because people don't live for truth. They just live for whatever it is they believe, whether it's in the right or the left. The media is so corrupt, I don't think there's any good one. Because even when someone is doing something right, they try to find something evil to say about that person because they hate that person. They don't like that person. I don't like this president. I don't like this politician. I don't like this government. And so it doesn't matter what, do the best you can. Do the right thing. They will always find something. He did this, but. There are always going to be buts. It's a matter of changing. And the way we need to look at things in life, it's not just to look at things forensically and just being forensic and just to find bad, but to have a heart that really cares about people and about issues, placing yourself on the other person's position and rethinking your position and thinking, what can I do better? That's what the world needs. People who understand that people do things for particular reasons. Even God says, I know that you're weak. You know, you're weak, so I got to help you. That's the mindset God wants us to have in our families, in our business places, in our churches. Not just to see people as this or that, but try to understand. Try to listen. Not to embrace evil, but try to help people change. That's what God is talking about. But the path of the just is as the shining light points light. It's not afraid to deal with issues. Because whatever it is that you hide will one day haunt you. It goes on. It says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. It's just barren things, dark. They know not at what they stumble, because they're walking in the dark. But if you don't want to stumble, you've got to point light at it and show where the obstacles are, where the pitfalls are, and what we can do to make things better, what we can say that will bring healing to people. Because ultimately, the issue ends up being the issue of your heart. Amen? The way of the wicked is as darkness. It's dark. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Pay attention. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Listen. Don't just go about thinking, oh, old man, you know, what do you know? Ah, the Bible, that's old fashioned. There's nothing in this word that's old fashioned. Everything in here is in here to help us. The word of God is a lamp. It's a light. And the agenda of God is to help me be the best I can be. It challenges me. It challenges you. It says to us, hey, there's a better way of doing that. There was a time of ignorance that I winked at, God says. And as you and I grow in the things of God, what he used to allow, he begins to shut down on. You know, when you were in faith for 6 months, certain things were okay. Yeah, you're in your diaper stage. But after a while, diapers are not allowed. It was a stage where you were crawling. But after a while, crawling is not allowed. And that's what basically God is saying to us. Pay attention. You need to grow. First of all, don't attach yourself to wicked things, because you're going to learn their wicked ways. That's why God said to the Israelites, don't mess around with their idols. Don't attach yourself to that. Well, because sooner or later you're going to do that. Don't even marry their daughters, because sooner or later they're going to turn your heart. Well, I can convert him. Who have you converted? The person is not saved, but that's the person you want to attach yourself to. And after a few months, when he starts bashing your head in, you start, please pray for me fast. What are we fasting about? God said, don't attach yourself to wickedness. Stay away from it. Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. And I don't think there is anybody more wicked than one who has known God and turned away from God. The devil makes certain that you become so hardened, you have no feeling at all. If you don't have a respect for God, you're going to have respect for people. Attend to my words. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep my words before you at all times. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. That's important. Take a hold of this word. Keep it. Take a hold of it. Let it establish you. Why? For the word of God that you keep steady in your eyes, that you keep in the midst of your heart, those words are going to be life unto those that find them. Now, that statement, for they are life unto those that find them and hell to all their flesh, it's not just a statement about how it imparts you, but how it imparts those that come close to you. God's interest is not just about me. It's about me impacting the lives of others. Just like light is not light for itself, but light to benefit others. So also does God's word become so relevant to me that it so changes me that everyone that comes close finds life because I have life. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God wants those that come around you to experience life, not death. Experience the goodness of God, not wickedness. Life. We need to ask ourselves this question. How is my life impacting others? That's a relevant question. How is my life impacting other people? It is God's will that none perish. Is my life causing people to recognize that there is a good God who loves them, who cares about them? Is my life driving people away from God? That's a relevant question. Is my life bringing health and wholeness? You know, the Bible talks about laughter being medicine. Is my life becoming medicine? Because when people see me, they laugh, they are happy. I bring joy to people. What's my life about? It's a relevant question. It's a lifelong question. It's a daily question. How am I going to live out my life today in such a way that those that find the living word being lived out find life and health to all their flesh? Strangely enough, this statement has a deeper meaning. If we go to Proverbs 3, and we'll come back here to 4:22 in a moment. Proverbs chapter 3. The word of God says, starting from verse 5, he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. 4 tells us, lean, incline your ears to my words. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Guess what? If we are acknowledging him, he's not going to direct our paths into the path of the wicked, but the path of the just. He says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart. Same thing that it says to us in chapter 4. Depart from evil. If you're not wise in your own eyes, and you fear the Lord, and you depart from evil, he says, it shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. See that? The fear of the Lord, departing from evil, he says, it's going to be held to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Let's go back to chapter 4. I'll come back to chapter 3 again. 4 and 22. For they are life, the word of God, that you keep in your eyes, that is directing your path. It says, life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Health to every aspect of you. Wow. How is this going to happen? Keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep thy heart with all diligence. And this is in reference to the word of God still that you need to keep. It says, keep your heart with all diligence. Don't allow corruption to come in. And corruption comes through your eyes and through your ears. There are 2 points. What you're looking at, what you're listening to. You know, you can borrow other people's problems by listening to them. Your relationship with people can change just by listening to somebody. What they say about somebody else. And all of a sudden, your relationship changes for the person. You have no problem with that person, but because this person said something about that person, your relationship changes. And whatever this person said may be the truth or may be a complete fabrication. But because you listen to it and you're meditating on it, your relationship to this person has changed. Now you're carrying a grudge. Now you are embittered. Now you are not dealing with that person out of a spirit of love anymore. Now you're suspicious. Now you're overtly critical. And not based on anything that this person did to you. It's based on what this person said over here. And God's word says, protect your heart. Protect your heart. Don't let any form of evil creep into your heart, because it will poison your heart and ultimately it will destroy you. I don't know if I'm talking to strangers today. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? How many of you have ever been in a situation where your heart was poisoned because of what somebody else said? It's the truth. You got to protect your heart. You don't know what their motivation is. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways and He will direct your path. There are people that will be smiling at you but hate you to the core. They don't want your good. So you do what is best for you. Protect your heart. Because out of it are the issues of life. Out of your heart are the issues of life. That's an incredible statement to make. Because that word has many meanings, the issues. It means boundaries. Out of your heart, you create boundaries. Now, in this sense, boundaries that limit you if you don't protect your heart. You limit yourself. And we've got to be very, very careful. I remember many years ago, Mama had a cleaning business called No Mess. No Mess Cleaning Services. And I used to go and with the children and we'll help her, cleaning offices. And there was one office of a real estate company on Grant. And there was a guy that always came in and I'll say hello, and for whatever reason, he was not responding. This was going on for weeks. I'm biding my time. And one day I decided, okay, I'm going to get this guy. I'm going to let him know how rude he was. I'm going to just go up and down him. And guess what? I was a Christian and I was a pastor already. But I was going to just wash him down, let him know, you don't mess with this guy. Oh, lying devils. One day he came and I was ready for it. And thank God for the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord says, be quiet. Don't you say a word. Well, but, no buts. So I kept quiet. Lo and behold, would you know it? The guy opens up and starts asking me questions about the Lord and blah, blah, blah. And I start talking to him about the Lord. And he comes to our daily services on Maryland. This is a guy I was about to wash down. He comes down there. And guess who was my real estate agent when we bought our first house? That same guy. Who helped me with my down payment? That same guy. Excuse me? Guess what the devil wanted me to do? mess up and create a limitation around my life. God says, keep your heart with all diligence. That man became a good friend. Till this day, now and then he'll call me and says, Pastor Zeno, I was just watching your program on television. Oh, you preaching it. I say, thank you. But that's the person I wanted to run down with, with my mouth. Who is it and what is it that you have blown up with your mouth? Because you did not protect your heart. And you allowed rage to come in, anger, strife. You see that, walk away, walk away. Commit this situation to the Lord. He says, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and He will direct your path. God will defend you. He knows how to do it. The only problem is that He's so patient, and I think He might take too long to deal with a situation to my satisfaction. Don't just fix it now so I can celebrate. No. I love Him just as much as I love you. I love her just as much as I love you. I'm going to find every possible way to reach them, and if I cannot, then they will walk into the pit that they dug for themselves. But you, chill. Get out of this. Stay out of it. Protect your heart. Don't allow things to creep in there. Because whatever creeps in there is going to be multiplied. And sooner or later, you won't know why you're upset anymore. You just know that you're angry. And you're angry. And pretty soon, it's not just being angry at this person. You're angry at the world. And not just angry at the world, you're angry at yourself. And you go through a destructive path. So many people are in a state of ill health because they did not protect their heart. And sickness and disease is just munching on them because they didn't protect their heart. The best thing we can do is to give our hearts over to God and say, God, I've messed up my heart. I need it healed. I need my heart healed. I'm hurting, but I know you can heal me. So I elect right now to forgive. And let me tell you what's going to happen. I wish I could tell you that right away when you say, I choose to forgive, you know, things will change right away. In fact, a good percentage of the time, it gets worse. It gets worse. It's like, you forgive, right? Pow! How's the forgiveness thing going now? Say, I still choose to forgive. I choose to forgive. I will not allow corruption into my heart. I'm not going to limit my life. You see that word, issues of life? The word also means deliverance. When you protect your heart, that's how you're going to experience deliverance. When you protect your heart, the issues of life becomes the exit point from disaster. But the greatest and most powerful of that word is that it is the source of life. Powerful thought. Protect, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the sources of life. Your life is determined, and the fruitfulness of it is determined from how you are handling heart issues. The word is the word tososa. Tososa. How you keep your heart. Sorry, not tososa, tosowa. Yeah, that's the right word. Tosowa. How you keep with diligence your heart will make it possible for the limitations, the boundaries, the exit, the deliverance, and the source, the outgoings of your life, how your life is going to flow because you protected this. Oh, you chicken, I'm protecting my heart. You need this information so you can protect you. No. I'm trusting God to protect me, to guide me, to help me. Whatever it is that you think you are doing right now is not going to help me. Because all it's going to do is feed my heart with whatever else . So I surrender myself to God. You know, the Lord says to us through Paul, says, be tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. What good is that to be tender-hearted? That means I'm going to be hurt. And that's what God says, is be tender-hearted. Be kind to one another. That's the instruction. Be tender-hearted. How? Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, had forgiven you. I'm not saying that it is easy, but we also have the word of the Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's so easy to hate. So easy to want to revenge. So easy to do those things. But God says, leave that up to me. And you know what? The reality is, you know, believers, most believers don't grasp this aspect. But the reason governments are there and God calls them ministers is because God calls governments to deal with issues that God says you should not deal with. That's why governments can go to war and shoot people down. And God doesn't say that's murder. He's dealing with, they have their own set of rules. If I were the prime minister of this country, I would not deal with issues like a pastor or like a regular Christian. I'll deal with it based on governmental laws. Say, hey, forgive that guy. God didn't say, government, forgive that guy. Throw his inside the prison. That's what government's supposed to do. But do it like God will do it. Still love, help them learn so that they can be better and give them a reprieve and whatever else. But there are two different things. Two different regulations. So whatever, you know, when God looks at the Middle East today, he'll be on the side of doing the right thing. But he also says, don't maltreat people. You know, there are laws of engagement. You know, you don't just kill people. That's not the agenda. The agenda is to bring about peace, ultimately. Be strong and engineer peace. Pursue it. The man must see himself as an individual, and as an individual, he can deal one-on-one. But once he's sitting on that seat, that throne, it's a totally different situation. It's a flip. But ultimately, it's all about justice. So guard your heart with all diligence. It's a personal word to every one of us, but also impact governments. Because it says also, it says, put away from thee a froward mouth. A mouth that is perverse and undisciplined. It says, put it away from you. Not just you not speaking froward things and perverse things out of your mouth, but where you see it happening, put that out of your way. I'll tell you a story. And this goes back to this keeping your heart. Many years ago, when I finally had a work permit to work in the country, I was, I don't know whether you call it a gopher, but I did some electrical stuff, you know, putting boxes, you know, at the right height, you know, for the electricians to come and do their wiring and whatever else, helping to pull wire through tubes and stuff like that. And the environment where I was working, the people had the silliest mouth. They were always speaking foul words. Steady. All those 8 hours, 10 hours I was there, it was one swear word after the other. Bing, 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 bing. And one day I was out from there and I was talking, and all of a sudden, a swear word wanted to come out of my mouth. I said, "Hey, where did that come from? That's not me. Where did that come from?" The Lord says, "From where you're working." I said, "Oh my, that's exactly true. What am I going to do about it?" And the Lord says to me, "What are you going to do about it?" I said, "But I'm asking you, what am I going to do about it? And you're asking me, what are you going to do about it?" I said, "Yes, what are you going to do about it?" I said, "I don't know yet. But I have to do something, because these people are taking over my heart. They're filling my heart with junk." So I went to work the next day, and it was praise and worship time. Praise the Lord. I started singing praise and worship songs. It shut them all down. Hallelujah. I took a hold of my heart. Praise and worship. This is the day, as I'm doing, I'm singing, and they could hear it all over. I wasn't singing quietly. You were not saying F this and F that quietly. Why am I going to sing my praise and worship song quietly? I started singing it. And it shut them down. I did not hear one F word again until I finished that particular job. Every time I drive down, I don't know what highway that is. It's that road that runs through to St. James. On the other side, there is a It's one of the highways, not, anyway, forget about that, doesn't matter. Anyway, every time I go past that street and I see the building where I worked, I remember that's the place the enemy wanted to mess me up with his words. It doesn't matter who you are, you can be a pastor, the pope, the whatever you want to be. You don't protect your heart, the junk of the world will come in. You got to protect it, because ultimately it's going to limit your capacity. It's going to limit your thinking. So shut off those forward pervert stuff. Put it far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Know where you're going. Know what you're about. Let your eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before you. That's what you're supposed to do. Ponder the path of thy feet. And this is a remarkable statement here. Pondering the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Basically, what God is saying to us through his servant is this. In pondering the path of thy feet, he's saying, be very careful and thoughtful about every step you take. Don't rush. Take your time. Ponder the path of thy feet. You know, just to wrap up, thinking about the war that is happening in the Middle East right now, Israel was ruthlessly attacked. Mayhem took place. And you think they will just go in right away. But going in right away could mean a lot of things. So what are they doing? It's almost 2 weeks. The ground troop has not gone in yet. They're softening the ground. And then later on, they will systematically go in. That is pondering your feet. Too many times we rush into things. We react rather than responding. You need to respond to things, not react. If you are put in a place and all you do is react rather than respond, you'll make a fool of yourself. You'll entrap yourself. You may be doing something good and it will become evil because you're reacting. Knee-jerk reaction, boom. And then you started trying to explain yourself later. But when you respond, when you cool, your heart is protected, you can deal with things properly. And that's what God is calling us to do. Deal with things properly. Stop reacting to things. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. When you finish, let whatever it is that you do be complete. Let it be established. When you react, you just destroy yourself and destroy everything around you, and nothing is in order. And that's a perfect lesson for us to learn. Stop reacting. Respond. Respond with a pure heart. Respond with a heart of love. Respond with understanding. Respond with grace. Respond with forgiveness. Respond with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Get your facts together. Because if you don't, you set yourself up for serious damage. And it ends up and says, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. But leading to that statement and to the pondering statement is this statement in verse 25. And that's where I'll conclude. Because 25 embraces 26 and 27. Let thine eyes look right on. Know where you're going. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Stop having a wandering eye. Know what your assignment is. When the people of Israel came to the first city called Jericho, God told them, after they did their march around one day each day and seven times on the seventh day, he said to them, everybody march and take what's in front of you. Every one of us here has an assignment in this body. There's something God called you to do, to accomplish for his glory. And the assignment is to look straight on. Don't get distracted as a point. Don't get distracted by anything. Know what you're called to do, what your assignment is, and stick with the program. No matter what, just stick with it. Anybody that's going to make it has to have that kind of a mind. know what God has called me to do, and I'm going to follow through with it. It doesn't matter what person B or person C, D, E, or F, or whatever is doing. I know what God called me to do, and I have my blinders on to get it done. My prayer today is that every one of us, individually and corporately, have that sense. This is what God has called me to do, and I'm doing it. I'm not going to turn to the right. I'm not going to turn to the left. And as I'm doing it, I am making certain that the next step is the next step I need to take. And the next step is the next step I'm supposed to take, so that whatever it is that I've ultimately accomplished is fully established. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing out of place. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, that's what I believe the Lord wants us to embrace today. We'll go on to chapter 5 in the days to come. And as we go deeper, this particular principle of know where you're going and the distractions will be addressed in depth. Remember the statement of Elijah to Elisha. Elijah says to Elisha, you want the double portion of my spirit? Okay. If you see me being taken up, then you can have it. It's a hard thing that you've asked for. But if you see me being caught up, then you can have it. And lo and behold, a chariot of fire shows up and separates Elijah from Elisha. As flashy as that chariot of fire was, Elisha did not take his eyes off Elijah. Why was the chariot of fire there? Was it there to come carry Elijah away? No. Elijah was going to be taken up by whirlwind. But he said, you've asked for a hard thing. And what is this hard thing that we're talking about right now? We're talking about focus. You know, if you're not focused, if your eyes do not focus, you don't see clearly. Your ability to see is directly connected to your ability to be focused. I need focus. You need focus. And especially in the days that we have come to, we need to be focused. Bible puts it this way, looking unto the author and the finisher of your faith. Looking unto the author and the finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him was focused. That's the Lord's way. If we're going to experience the power of God, we've got to be focused. Have you ever been in a situation you're trying to pray? All of a sudden, that's when you start remembering, oh man, I've not had the Burger King for a long time. I thought you would laugh with that one. That's when all kinds of distractions come. The agenda of the enemy is to distract you, not to be focused. So we're going to pray for focus. Amen? That's so important. So important. that we be focused, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You want to be seated with him? Focus. Focus. Don't allow distractions. And there are going to be many distractions. But set your eyes to following God. Be focused. When you hear man has created a man, be focused. When you hear that everything is falling apart around the world, be focused. Don't allow the world to penetrate your heart. But instead, let light shine forth out of you so you can walk in a path without stumbling. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your presence. We're thankful for grace. We're thankful, Lord, that you endured so much contradictions against yourself. But because you were focused, you did not fall into the entrapments of being one that faints and is weary. We look unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. We ask, O God, that like never before, that we will be a people that are disciplined in every area of our life, walking in the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Focus. Focus. Not distracted by the engineerings of men. Recognizing, O God, that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, our faith and our trust is in you. We need your help like never before. We ask, O God, that you'll help us to walk uprightly, our eyes looking forward, looking unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith, giving no room to the devil or his cohorts, that our hearts, O God, be in alignment with your will, your perfect will. Lord, help us keep our hearts with all diligence, because out of it are the outgoings of sources. Out of it is our deliverance. Out of it is our capacity to escape all of the agendas of the enemy. We rest, O God, in your faithfulness, Father. Have your way, O God, in us. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. And thank you, Lord, that you are changing us for your glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, this time let us honor God with our giving, trusting him who has loved us with an everlasting love. Those of you online, you know how to do so online. And those of you that are here that have not honored God yet with your giving, do take the time to do so now. Amen. Bless you all. And let me say that prayer meetings until the end of October will continue to be aired on YouTube, Facebook, Reddit, and all the other platforms. However, starting in November, prayer meetings are only going to be in-house and on Zoom. Those are the only places you're going to be able to engage in prayer meeting, on Zoom and here in person. It's not going to be on YouTube. It's not going to be on Facebook. The Lord very clearly gave me instruction to do that. I have a sense that I know why he gave that instruction, because there are going to be things that we're going to be praying about that we don't want all over the place. So, until that particular time, that's how you're going to get your information. Those of you that are on Zoom already have the handle for that, and that'll be great to see you online on Zoom for the prayer meetings. And before I greet those that are on Zoom right now, I would like the information for the benefit of those that are on Facebook and on YouTube. I like the information for the Zoom to be posted real quickly, and we'll have that out of the way so that when they don't see us on YouTube, they know where to go to. The number is 851-8432-5513. Again, it's 851-8432-5513. And the passcode is 945071. Again, the passcode is 945071. All right? Well, bless you. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord, and we'll see you again soon. Now, let me just chat with those that are on Zoom. Hello, Brother Bill. I think I saw Sister Carol.